You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
I'm Laura Bailey. Disposal of nuclear waste is a legitimate concern with much discussion in the media and the public. But Professor William Martin says the likelihood of proliferation because of waste being misused is small.
There's two categories of waste recognized by the regulatory bodies, low-level waste and high-level waste. Low-level waste is incidental type products and maybe uniforms or booties or hypodermic needles, whatever that get irradiated and need to be disposed of. Hospitals generate a lot of radioactive waste, as do nuclear plants, as do fabrication plants. So there's a large amount of radioactive waste that's being generated in this country, not just due to nuclear power. This waste can be collected and put into steel barrels and shipped to a site, for example, Barnwell, South Carolina. And then the waste can be compacted and stored in basically concrete blocks. And the blocks are just arranged in a shallow pit and then covered with clay and dirt. It becomes a site where you simply store the waste. This is not highly radioactive, but you need to sequester it from the environment. It's not a technical challenge to do this. High-level waste, on the other hand, is very dangerous. It's basically the fuel used to generate the power in a reactor. It would kill you easily if you were close to it. You have to separate it from the environment and from people. It also emits heat. You have to make sure you have the engineering systems to remove that heat. If you don't remove the heat, it will heat up and melt, which you don't want that to happen either. So high-level waste in this country is supposed to be buried at Yucca Mountain in Nevada, south of Las Vegas, what's called a deep burial repository, where there are tunnels drilled in the side of a mountain, perhaps 1,000 feet under the surface of the land, maybe farther. And the waste is then taken to Yucca Mountain and is put in the deep tunnels. And the plan was to eventually, when the Yucca Mountain is filled up, is to backfill it with concrete, and then you wouldn't even know that the waste was there when you finished with it.
But now, the proposed storage at the Yucca Mountain facility has been blocked by local residents.
And even though Yucca Mountain is in a very inhospitable part of the world, adjacent to the weapons test site where probably 1,000 nuclear bombs were blown up over the last 30 or 40 years, so it's definitely a part of the country that we simply will not be living in. Nevertheless, there's opposition to siting Yucca Mountain at that point. It was supposed to open in 1998. Now it won't open until 2017, if even then, since it's dependent on court challenges. Right now, the waste is being stored on site at nuclear power plants around the country. At last count, almost 60 nuclear plants have run out of space in their spent fuel storage pools, which is where you cool the nuclear fuel after you take it out of the reactor, or until you can send it off to Yucca Mountain, for example. Well, Yucca Mountain's not available, so the spent fuel is being taken out of the pools and stored in what are called dry cask containers, which are concrete silos that are about 15 feet tall. And natural circulation air simply circulating without pumps keeps the fuel cool. Most nuclear plants now have these on site to store the waste. So basically the lack of a coherent waste disposal methodology, our technology here in this country has forced every nuclear reactor operator to create their own nuclear waste storage.
Recently, North Korea and Iran have announced nuclear programs, and many people fear that a large-scale nuclear program here could lead to weapons proliferation elsewhere.
There are two primary issues with proliferation. The major issue is gaining access to the raw materials needed to make a bomb. The second is actually making the bomb. The two principal raw materials that we are concerned with are plutonium-239 and uranium-235. It turns out these are also the raw materials that were used in the first two bombs that were dropped on Japan in 1945. If a country has a sufficient amount of U-235, they could craft a weapon fairly easily. This is not considered to be a difficult thing to do. Fortunately, it's not easy to get U-235 because you have to enrich natural uranium to get U-235. But it's not that hard for countries to get plutonium because plutonium is a byproduct of the nuclear power.
Martin notes there are two types of plutonium, weapons grade and reactor grade.
Pure weapons grade plutonium is not a product of a nuclear reactor. The reactors that were used to generate the plutonium for India or Pakistan, or most recently North Korea, these were not commercial reactors. The link between commercial nuclear power and weapons is not a strong link. It's not the way that people or nations would actually pursue, because commercial power is so expensive, and we can get this weapons-grade plutonium in a better form and cheaper with other types of reactors.
UM was recently rated the number one nuclear energy and radiological science department in the country. Students and researchers here are working on projects in all areas of nuclear science.
There are advanced designs that are being worked on called Generation 4 designs. We are sort of in Generation 3 of the reactors. The 1960s might be called Generation 1, 1970s would be Generation 2, since then would be Generation 3, and Generation 4 are reactors that might be expected to come online in 2025, in that time frame. We have research grants that are looking into advanced materials that would be used in some of these Generation 4 concepts, ways to encapsulate nuclear waste so that it can be stored safely and securely. Faculty and students looking at advanced fuel cycles to minimize the amount of nuclear waste that's being produced, hence reducing the burden on Yucca Mountain, for example, and also to minimize the production of plutonium. And we also have research projects that are involved in developing new methods that can be used to analyze these new designs.
Professor William Martin, Chair of the Department of Nuclear Engineering and Radiological Sciences.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.